Our scripture this morning is John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Amen.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
All right. That was good the first time. So glad you're all here. I'm so glad you're happy. Is it because it's cooler this morning? A little more energy? Doesn't it feel wonderful out there to have a break from the heat? Well, before we get started, let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we are so happy to be here. And we thank you for the wonderful Sabbath hours to spend special time with you as your family. So, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come into our hearts and our minds, and Father, take control of my thoughts and words, that they would be a blessing, Lord, unto you, that it will bring a depth of understanding and growth in all of our hearts, because we're coming to you in Jesus' name and we're opening your holy word and we're asking for your Holy Spirit. So, Father, bless us with that presence. Fill this house with your holy angels. We pray and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many mothers do we have here this morning? All right. How many of us have mothers here this morning? Okay, so we all have mothers, amen? You know, it takes a special kind of lady to be a good mother, doesn't it? And I mean, the world is full of mothers, because nearly any female can become a mother. But a truly good mother, that seems to be a different ballgame altogether. And you know, I don't understand why we don't have more good mothers. I mean, it's not hard to raise a child, right? I mean, as I look out this congregation, I just see a bunch of perfect little angels, right? None of you could be in trouble whatsoever, right? Yeah, I know. It's hard to be a perfect little angel, because I was a kid once, too. And I was probably the most perfect child you'd ever want to meet. Well, if my mother was here in the congregation today, I kind of imagine she'd probably be nodding her head, yes. Well, maybe. Because somehow my mom seemed to forget the many times that I would, like, come home from the neighbors where we'd do chores together, and afterwards my little buddy and I would ride their pigs, and I came home pretty filthy. Or all the household appliances I had to take apart to see how they worked and couldn't quite get them all back together and had a few extra parts afterwards. Or I used to jump off the roof of the garage in the house with my homemade glider contraptions trying to fly. And yeah, okay, true confessions. I one time had the responsibility. We had a little .22 to go out in the orchard to try to scare the crows out of the orchard. And I shot and killed our best laying hen of our chickens. I didn't think I could hit it. I did. And yet, these are some of the less serious offenses of my youth, but in spite of all these different issues, even so, my mom never once disowned me. She never once locked me away. She never once sent me to military school. She might have thought about running away sometimes herself. I don't know. I kind of doubt it. But why? Because, friends, she was forced to stay there with me and my sister. She was forced to raise us and to take care of us by the greatest power in the universe, love. You think, now, wait a minute, Pastor, the greatest force in the universe is God, right? And that's true. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, if you will, and we find in the wonderful books, starting in verse 7, and we find one of the sons of thunder talking here as a changed man. Beloved, let us what? Love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Isn't that beautiful? So the Scriptures show very plainly that God is love. Now, you moms and dads out there, as much as you love your children, and as much as you watch over them, and you want to do all you can to make their lives happy, can you even try to comprehend God's love for each one of us is vastly greater than that you have for your child? Now, as parents, I understand you would lay down your life for your kids. But sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around the concept that the creator of the universe, the sustainer of life, the great I am, our divine God loves me and you even more than any of that. That is indeed a powerful force. A friend of mine once said his little girl would occasionally ask him if God still loved her even when she got mad at her little sister or when she disobeyed her mom. And we might say, well, I know that sounds like a question a child would ask, but friends, sometimes we as adults struggle with the same sort of thought. I mean, if we fly off the handle and say and do things that we know are wrong or even sinful, when we're angry or upset at the world and even at God, does He still love us? What about it, mothers? When your children, they were little, threw a temper tantrum or talked back to you and basically seemed to do everything in their power to get you to lose control, did you stop loving them? No, of course not. A parent's love is unconditional, and so is God's love for us. Romans 5:8, Paul tells us this: but God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for who? For sinners. And please, friends, don't ever entertain the thought that God doesn't love you. And never forget, He loves you as much as He loves absolutely everybody else. In today's world, where division is growing in leaps and bounds, across the spectrum, I won't even go into the types. You can think of it. In the news all over, and we see the love of many growing cold. We see atrocities all over the place. We see bitter hatred from one side to the other. You don't think like I do politically. You don't think the right thing here. You don't do this. You don't. And everybody is splitting. God loves each and every one of them, whoever they are, as much as He loves you. Keep that in your heart and your mind as you interact or even think of those who might be on another thought than you. A few years ago, the TV news reported on this guy who is supposed to be a minister of the gospel who was organizing a march with a bunch of his church members against homosexuality. The way in which he spoke on behalf of God was anything but godly. He even had his young children with him in demonstrations. Everyone was carrying signs that said different things. A couple of those signs stood out in my mind. I apologize for the coarse language, but I want you to get the full impact of what this guy was saying. One of the signs said, "God hates faggots." Another one said, "God will burn queers in hell." Just the sight of this guy and hearing him shout all these obscenities and misleading remarks in the name of God made my blood boil. In fact, this fella and his followers generated so much hate in the minds of his followers and the people around him. Now let me ask you this. Is homosexuality a sin as stated in the Bible? Yes, absolutely. But friends, always remember that God hates sin, not the sinner. If He did hate the sinner, He would hate you. He would hate me. He'd hate all of us. And if that was true, He wouldn't have died for us. The way this guy was handling the gospel was horrendous. I'm sorry. And in fact, he did 100 times more harm than good. Need to pray for him. Because just think about it. What did Jesus tell the woman caught in adultery who was thrown at His feet for condemnation? Did He say, "Oh, I hate you"? Did He say, "Oh, you're going to go burn in hell"? No, absolutely not. In every way possible, he said, I love you. And please, don't go sin anymore. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, not to drive them away. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, we find this principle. He says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with a what? An everlasting love. Therefore, with condemnation, I tried to get you to follow me. No, with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Loving kindness. It's a shame, but there are people in the world who feel that no one loves them. But they're all alone in this life. No one hears them cry or cares if they hurt. Way too many people feel this way because they have fallen victim to someone spreading a counterfeit gospel. And in this false gospel, it says if you want to give your heart or your life to the Lord, you have to get rid of sins out of your life first. And then you can start your walk as a Christian. Don't you realize how ridiculous that is? I mean, can you imagine telling an alcoholic that they have to get rid of all the booze out of their life before they join AA? Not at all. Revelation 3:20 tells us, and I paraphrase, here I am, Jesus says. I'm at the door, I'm knocking. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Friends, Jesus is standing today at the doors of many people's hearts. And he's knocking. The problem is, so many of these poor souls can hear the Lord knocking, but they dare not let him in because they've been conditioned to think they have to get their house in perfect order before they can dare let him in. And because they know they're powerless against the sins in their lives, they don't open the door and they continue plodding the same dark path, doomed for destruction, feeling there's no way out. Friends, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been or what sins you have had or still have in your life. There is a way out. John 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Matthew 11, 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, this is the true gospel. Jesus loves us so much, he established the plan of redemption before he even formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. Now, think about that for a moment. The omnipresent God, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, formed the plan of salvation before Jesus knelt in the dirt and formed Adam, knowing this line of creation would cause him to die on the cross, before he breathed in him the breath of life. Is that love? Incredible kind of love. He did this because he couldn't bear the thought of any of his children being separated from him by sin and of having no hope of salvation. He made the way ready before we were even created and fell. He is love. You see, Jesus carried your sins and my sins to that cross so that no matter what befalls us, we can still call upon his unconditional love to see us safely to that heavenly kingdom and to be with him forever. We must accept him. It's our free will. It's our choice. We must accept him not only as our Savior, but to be the Lord of our life and let our selfish character die so that he alone lives within us. By his power and his spirit, he comes in and he will change us into his perfect character and walk us into eternal life. Amen? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. If we only let him. What a loving God. This is a concept that many different people of different religions around the world have a hard time understanding. They rationalize that gaining salvation couldn't possibly be that easy, that it's a free gift. I'd like to read something to you here. True story. About an American missionary by the name of David Moore. He was sent to India to hold a series of evangelism meetings, and he had such great success in the meetings, he decided to start this small church there so he could reach more people with the good news of the gospel. Praise God. And in that particular part of India that the missionary was working, one of the main means of income was diving for cultured pearls. He'd become very good friends with an old pearl diver named Ramba. Ramba came to the very first meeting, and he continued to attend almost every single meeting. He missed very few. The missionary often went to Ramba's cabin and visited with him and read to him scriptures of God's love, because Ramba couldn't read. The old pearl diver even went so far, he built a chair especially for his friend to sit in when he came to read to him of the wondrous things that God had done for him. Even though Ramba totally believed in God and his awesome power, his majesty, his love for all of us, he would always decline the missionary's offer to baptize him into the faith. One night after reading to him, David said, "Ramba, you've been so faithful. You've been coming to church now for 2 years, and you love to hear the word of God. Please tell me why you do not want to get baptized and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior." The old man looked up and said, "Your way to heaven is too easy for me. If I should ever make it to heaven that way, I would feel like a pauper there. I would feel like a beggar let in by pity. I've been a proud man all my life, worked hard. You must understand, I must work for it. I must do something to deserve it." Try as he may, the missionary could not make Ramba understand that Jesus had already earned our place in heaven, and the only way in is to just accept his work on our behalf. The next day, the old pearl diver showed up at David's door. He was carrying a small strong box in his hands. The missionary invited him in and asked him, "What's in the box?" With a look of determination, the old man said, "Sahib, I have decided I'm ready to begin my journey into heaven." The missionary said, "That's great, Ramba. I'll baptize you tomorrow." "Oh, you don't understand, Sahib," the old man said. "I will begin my journey to earn my place in heaven. I've decided to go to Delhi on my knees." A look of shock came over David's face as he said, "Ramba, it's over 900 miles to Delhi. Your knees will be torn to shreds. You'll have blood poisoning and infections long before you reach Bombay." "No," he said, "I must go to Delhi. The immortals will be pleased with my work, and it will gain heaven for me." The missionary pleaded with the old man and again quoted to him from scriptures, telling him that Jesus had already paid the price. But the proud old pearl diver would not be moved. His mind was made up. He said, "Sahib Morse, you have been my dearest friend on this earth for the last few years. You have been with me through many trying times in my life. And you have never once denied me of anything that was in your power to provide me. And most important of all, you have introduced me to your God whom I now serve. I am leaving tomorrow, probably never to return again. That is why I want you to have my most cherished possession." And he takes the box, looking thoughtfully at it, he continued, "I once had a son. He was a pearl diver just like I am. Oh, I wish how you could have met him, Sahib. He was the best diver in the entire coast of India. He had the swiftest dive, the keenest eye. He could hold his breath longer than I could, even in my youth. And we both dreamed of searching and one day finding the perfect pearl. One was a good size, had no blemish or defects in it. We shared so much together. Oh, how I loved him." The old man's eyes was tearing up as he continued, "It was on the eve of my 60th birthday, and my son wanted so badly to find me a beautiful gift, the most beautiful pearl, one that would remind me of his love for me and that I would cherish forever. Well, Sahib, he found that pearl on the last dive of the day. But even when he first saw it, he had been under too long. I watched in horror and disbelief as I saw my only son floating lifeless to the surface. When I finally got him on board, I knew he was dead already." Holding his strong box out to the missionary, Ramba said, "In my son's still clenched hand, I found this, his gift to me." David took the box and opened it up, looked inside, and saw one of the largest pearls he had ever seen. Through his own tears, he said, "Rampa, it's beautiful. That pearl is perfect, Sahib," the old man said, "and it's yours now. Because of your love for me and as a token of my love, I want to give it to you." For a moment, David couldn't even speak. But then he said, "I must have this pearl, Rampa. But at the risk of sounding proud, I have to pay you for it. How about $10,000? With a look of confusion, Rampa stepped back and said, "Sahib Morris, you don't understand. My son gave his life for this pearl. There's no one on earth has enough money to buy it from me. I want to give it to you as a gift. Please don't insult me by asking to pay for it." The missionary gripped the old man by the shoulders, looked in his eyes and said, "My dear brother, don't you see? For these last few years, you've been trying to buy something from God, something his son laid down his own life for, that we might have the gift. It's true. No man has enough money to buy this beautiful pearl from you. But yet you are willing to give it to me because of your love for me. Rampa, you can crawl around the world on your knees, but you will never even begin to do enough to win your way to heaven. Heaven's already been purchased for you with the lifeblood of Jesus Christ. It's already in the box. All you need to do is accept it and take it out." Out of joy, they cried together as Rampa finally realized the extent of God's love for him. Rampa was indeed baptized, not tomorrow, that night. And he humbly served the Lord the rest of his life. Amen. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Wages are something you earn, right? It's what you do. You earn. We earn death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a gift. What incredible love. The most known, perhaps the most pregnant verses found in all scriptures. We read once today, but let's turn again to John 3:16 and 17. The gospel condensed. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." What a God. We can't earn God's love. You can't. It's impossible because we already have it. Even those who will not accept it. Jesus wants us to come to him just as we are, right? Absolutely. As messed up as we are. As unrighteous as we are. As rough as we are. And upon accepting him as Lord and Savior through a constant and close relationship with us, God begins the work of cleaning and polishing to perfection the priceless gem that he sees when he looks at every one of us. A few weeks back, we talked about the Motley Crue, remember? His disciples. And the incredible change that he wrought out of that group of dysfunctionality. The power of God. May we never take for granted the ultimate price that he paid for our redemption and the love by which he continues to call us and grow us and change us into his image. God wants nothing more than to do absolutely great things in us and through us. So I pray that you will consider once more God's incredible love. And not only for yourself, friends, but please, as this world gets darker and more confused and more polarized, pray for God's character, his spirit, his eyes, that you see everybody as Jesus does and raise you above all that Satan is doing. God and God alone will give us that victory. So let's hang on to him and let's give him the glory. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we give praise and honor and glory to you. For we humbly bow before you and recognize truly what a wonderful gift you've given us. So, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for taking us just as we are. But, Father, we thank you even more for refusing to leave us that way, but to continue to grow us through your Spirit and through close relationship with you, that we will learn how to lay aside ourself and to let the character of Christ only dwell within us. So, Lord, keep doing that wonderful work. Prepare your people, and may we be a wonderful open conduit of your love to all the world around us. Because, Lord, you're coming soon. It is time that we recognize that and we commit fully, 100%. So, Lord, come into our hearts. Bless us as we go from here and continue to grow us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most holy name, God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.